This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, I got a little too excited when those brackets got put out yesterday by the NCAA, the 2023 NCAA Division I football championship, the playoff brackets. I was looking at the bracket, and I saw December 2nd, Furman, University of Montana, and then I looked up and I saw, I think, Montana State and South Dakota, so I assumed, oh, that's the game on December 2nd, so then the next weekend, if they both win, could be the Cat-Grizz game. Again, another Cat-Grizz game. I know our Bobcat friends are hoping for a rematch after Saturday anyway. Isn't it kind of interesting, isn't it, that, 2 years ago the game was in Missoula, And the Grizz just dominated that game. Then a year ago, the game was in Bozeman, and the Cats just totally dominated that game. They're back in Missoula, and the Grizz dominated the game on Saturday. It's quickly becoming a home field advantage type of a game is what it seems like it's turning into. But here's the exciting news is, especially if you're somebody like me that wanted to be at the Cat-Grizz game on Saturday, but wasn't at the Cat-Grizz game on Saturday, we could have another Cat-Grizz game. Yeah, I got so excited I wanted to whip up a story on our Montana Talks website last night, but I whipped it up a little bit too fast, and so I got a week ahead of myself. So thanks to one of our commentators on our Montana Talks site, I made a quick correction. So both the Cats and the Grizz are hosting. Playoff games on December 2nd. So, yeah, no Thanksgiving weekend games because both of them are so well ranked. So that they have a bye for Thanksgiving weekend for next weekend. But then December 2nd, they'll both be hosting home games. But what I did was initially I had said, yeah, and then if they both win that game, then there's another Cat-Grizz in Missoula. But it's actually. It wouldn't be the weekend after that. It wouldn't be December 8th, 9th, because both the Cats and the Grizz would have other teams that they would have to face. So basically, if the Bobcats and the Grizzlies both win their first playoff games coming up on December 2nd, they'd have another game against other competitors. But if they both win two playoff games in a row, we've got another Cat-Grizz game taking place here in Montana. So that would be pretty exciting. December in Missoula. But doesn't matter how cold it'd be, that would be a hot one. And a quickly sellout crowd, that's for sure. So I don't know about you, but I'm like, man, I missed Cat-Grizz Saturday. But if they have another one coming up, I'm going to figure out a way not to miss that one. All right, let's see. What else did you miss over the weekend if you missed that news? This was just shameful. The left-wing anti-Israel activists are back at it again. So during the Cat-Grizz game on Saturday, it was pretty foggy right until the end of the game when the fog had lifted. Left-wing activists turned the M on Mount Sentinel in Missoula into a Palestinian flag. Well, at least they didn't use the M to spell out Hamas. Well, I guess they kind of did anyway, right?
Here is your Montana news. 2023 will likely see twice as much fentanyl seized from 2022's record-breaking year. That's the likelihood, according to Attorney General Austin Knutson. Through the Rocky Mountain High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Task Forces, nearly 350,000 doses of fentanyl have been collected in drug busts, 83% more than all of 2022. But that number of doses is what has been confiscated up to September 30th for three quarters of this year only. Nick Christensen with KGVO reports that nearly 60,000 doses were captured last quarter, July 1st to September 30th. That is almost the same amount seized in all of 2021. The Attorney General praised law enforcement and the task force for these drug busts, while he also blames the open southern border. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see sunny to partly cloudy conditions with afternoon high temperatures reaching into the lower 40s for Bozeman, but approaching 50 degrees for Billings. Then for tonight, under mostly clear skies, lows in the mid to upper 20s. Tuesday, some gradually increasing clouds. Highs looking to reach the lower to middle part of the 50s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. I see we got a message. This was from Shelly in Kalispell. This came in late last night. I was already racked out, this was the message from Shelly in Kalispell. Hey, Aaron, please mention that the M at the top of the M Trail in Missoula was painted in Palestine colors. It became visible as the fog cleared during the Grizz-Cat game. That was from Shelly in Kalispell. I just am now seeing the app messages that came in over the weekend and over the night. And so, anyway, just getting that message now. But thankfully, I actually did. I threw a story about that. If you're wondering what she's talking about, go to MontanaTalks.com right now. I whipped something up here within the past hour. At least they didn't use the M on Mount Sentinel to spell out Hamas. Although, you know, basically the Palestinian flag is Hamas right now. The Gaza Strip, the Palestinian government in the Gaza Strip is Hamas. And according to polling and everything we're seeing on the ground, basically the Palestinian government is Hamas. So basically by painting the Palestinian flag on the M, what these left-wing activists are basically doing is spelling out Hamas on the side of Mount Sentinel hovering over Missoula during the big Cat-Grizz game. Anti-Israel activists in Missoula defaced the M above Washington Grizzlies Stadium during the middle of the Cat-Grizz game on Saturday. According to the Kaiman, the University of Montana's school newspaper, thick fog blocked the view of the M until about 3:45 p.m. University staff tore down the display about an hour later. I guess they used like sheets of paper. They didn't actually paint the M. They used colored sheets of paper to cover the M. With the Palestinian, to make it look like the Palestinian flag covers. But according to the Kaiman, although the exact people who did it are unconfirmed, an Instagram page called MT for Palestine took credit for the act. It claims 15 people helped unroll 9,000 square feet of butcher paper from the top of the M around noon. Isn't that symbolic, by the way? They used butcher paper to honor the butchers of Gaza, the Hamas terrorists who killed 1,400 innocent people, gunning down entire families. They used butcher paper for the Palestinian flag. Pretty symbolic, isn't it? By the way, I'm sure that these people who unrolled 9,000 square feet of paper, they're probably the same left-wing activists who, you know, hang from the Higgins Street Bridge to protest logging. You know, I can't have logging, but hey, let's. Where do you think they got their 9,000 feet of butcher paper from to honor the butchers of Gaza, and the Hamas Palestinian government there? You can see a photo of what it actually looked like. On our Montana Talks website, we've embedded the tweet from the Montana Kaiman with the photograph there. The Kaiman also notes how left-wing activists used the M sign to write impeach and FU Trump when the president of the United States visited Missoula back in 2018. But hey, civility, no mean tweets, right? By the way, I wonder if some of these same left-wing activists that were honoring the butchers of Gaza with their butcher paper, probably some of the same people that wrote impeach and FU Trump. I'll bet you there's at least a couple of them that were part of that effort too. And isn't it interesting? Those same people that were seeing F Trump, impeach Trump, and using the M sign in Missoula to do it, same people who are, you know, mad about all the wars that are taking place right now. Well, you know what? You got what you paid for, left-wing activists in Missoula. For those who've been tracking the anti-Israel and anti-Semitic activity in the liberal hotbed of Missoula, last month I reported on the disgusting anti-Israel protests that took place in Missoula just days after the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. In Missoula, had out-of-state folks dressed like masked-up neo-Nazis and Missoula Democrats protesting against Jews in Israel on the same day. Over 1,000 innocent people were slaughtered by Palestinian terrorists. Entire Jewish families were gunned down in their homes. And I just throw this question out there once again. Here they had their pro-Palestinian rally in Missoula, sponsored by these left-wing activists. Same day that the neo-Nazi nut jobs were out there too. And, you know, why don't and why didn't these left-wing activists in Missoula hold rallies to condemn the terrorist actions of the Palestinian leadership in Gaza? They claim to be peace protesters, protesters who simply want peace. Why didn't you protest terrorists who slaughtered 1,400 innocent people? Oh, you didn't feel compelled to take to the streets to condemn that, but for some reason, all of a sudden you claim to be supporting peace when Israel wants to go after the actual terrorists here. By the way, I included a couple of other things in this story about how these left-wing activists defaced the M in Missoula during the Cat Grizz game. Charlie Kirk, first off, shared some very interesting insight. It's a new poll by the Arab World for Research and Development. A Palestinian research organization, by the way, found that 75% of Palestinians support the Hamas terrorist attacks on October 7th, with 59% strongly supporting them. And Charlie Kirk raises a good question. Why would you want to bring any of them here to America as so-called refugees? I also included a tweet from our friend John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, showing the video evidence that Hamas uses that hospital in Gaza. They basically kidnapped people in Israel and then brought them to the hospital they've been using as a front this whole time. I know, big surprise there, right?
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, four listening sessions have been announced to solicit input on a potential federal lamb insurance program. That's because Watts and Associates has been contracted by the USDA's Risk Management Agency to help evaluate the feasibility of offering subsidized production insurance for U.S. lamb producers. Now, three in-person listening sessions are planned for December 7th in Belfouche, South Dakota, December 9th in San Angelo, Texas, and during the upcoming American Sheep Industry Association's annual convention in Denver, as the group has been invited to also participate in the Lamb Council meeting on January 12th. A virtual session might also be conducted, but as of right now, details for such a session have yet to be determined. The form this insurance might take, if it is indeed feasible to implement, hasn't been determined either. However, the company says it's interested in soliciting input from all facets of the U.S. sheep industry to help determine if the insurance might cover predation losses, disease, cost of gain, margins, rate of gain, price fluctuations, or more. In the meantime, for more details, you can jump online and visit us at westerneggnetwork.com or check us out on Facebook. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Ranchers, if you're looking for some high-quality stock cows or bred heifers this fall, Montana Livestock Auction in Ramsey is the place to be Tuesday, November 21st. Already on the books, 40 head of Red Angus bred heifers, March calvers. Here's 45 head of Angus bred heifers, April calvers. Here's 45 head of Angus bred three-year-old stock cows, mid-March and April calvers. These are one-iron type cattle. And 30 head of Angus, 7 to 8-year-old stock cows, February, March calvers. For complete listings, visit MontanaLivestockAuction.com.
This is Rachel Stevenson inviting you to the Stevenson's Diamond Dot Fall Production Sale on November 27th. This offering of registered Angus cattle includes 225 bull calves, 92-year-old bulls, 130 registered females, and over 1,000 commercial females, including bred heifers and young cows. Sale starts at 12 noon at the ranch south of Hobson, Montana.
Well, Wyoming Senator John Barrasso has introduced legislation to make it easier for ranchers to make range improvements on federal land. The Ranching Without Red Tape Act streamlines the permitting process and ensures a timelier response for federal agencies for America's ranchers. Under current law, ranchers who hold a grazing permit on federal lands must renegotiate their permit to make range improvements not outlined in their original agreement. Now, co-sponsors include Wyoming Senator Cynthia Lummis, Idaho's Jim Risch, Montana's Steve Daines, and Utah's Mike Lee. And finally this morning, last week at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, we talked with the American Sugar Beet Growers Association's Executive Vice President Luther Marquart about this year's beet harvest and overall sugar supply for the upcoming holiday season.
That's correct. We had a record harvest, actually, and most of the beets are in. There's a few left in Michigan, but and a few yet coming out of Montana and Wyoming that got frozen in. We hate to see that. It's not a large portion, but with a record crop, there's going to be plenty of sugar for the holidays and throughout next year.
For the Western Egg Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Since I mentioned the Cat-Grizz game and a very high likelihood that we could have yet another Cat-Grizz game, I should do a quick roundup of some of the high school football state championship games that took place over the weekend as well. I've got several headlines that I printed up here in my stack of stuff, but let me get them all consolidated so I can roll through them all in one shot. Let's see, where do we start this morning here? Why don't you tell us? 406-294-0970. We've got plenty of time to take your, well, I say plenty of time. No, we know that the time's going to fly by very fast, but we do have time. We always make sure we have time to take your phone calls, whether it's a lot of time or a little bit of time. 406-294-0970. Big news about the Argentina elections. You know, the far-left government of Argentina has just been a train wreck for their economy down there. And did you guys ever see when Tucker Carlson traveled to Argentina and did an interview with this guy? Milei is his name. He's like this kind of hardcore libertarian type. They call him kind of like the Donald Trump of Argentina. He's a populist. There's different words used to describe his politics, but I think the easiest way, especially if you're the New York Times or the Associated Press, you know they're going to come up with some twisted way to attack a freedom oriented candidate instead of one of their beloved pro China leftist governments. But anyway, this Milei pulled off a victory down in Argentina, and this is the guy that Tucker Carlson went down and interviewed and did a fascinating report on the inflation that's been happening down under the left-wing government in Argentina. I mean, you think we got it bad here in America right now under Joe Biden and John Tester. It's even worse down in Argentina. But then again, if John Tester and the Democrats in the White House get reelected, Argentina, here we come. If you think it's bad now, it will get even worse if Joe Biden and John Tester are reelected. But anyway, Blake Masters out of Arizona, he shared this via X.com over the weekend. In 2016, Brexit prefigured Donald Trump's election. Now, Argentina electing Javier Milei foreshadows Trump's return in 2024. That's what Blake Masters shared via X.com. Jeremy Carl in Bozeman, Montana, who's a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, I thought, man, if somebody could really give us kind of a good insightful take on a story like this, it's our friend Jeremy Carl with the Claremont Institute. So I shot him a note earlier this morning and said, hey, you want to join us maybe later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show? He'll be with us, so that'll be a fun 8 o'clock hour of the program. Let's see, other than that, we get back to business in the 7 o'clock hour. Oh, I know, I was going to ask Jeremy about this, too. That's why I thought to email him. There's this book that's causing quite the stir, a school book in the Billings school libraries that's causing quite the controversy. So that we'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour as well.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's new fighting around another hospital in Gaza. The Hamas-run health ministry there reports 12 people killed in Israeli military strikes on the Indonesian hospital. Israel's released video of Hamas hostages being taken into the Al-Shifa hospital October 7th.
The men are Thai and Nepalese workers flanked by Hamas gunmen. The revelation raising new questions amid the ground fighting about what international organizations that operate within the hospital knew about the hostages.
Fox's Trey Yanks. It's President Biden's 81st birthday. He plans to celebrate with family later this week over the Thanksgiving holiday. Argentina has a new president.
Javier Milei will be the world's first ever libertarian head of state. He secured a nearly 12-point victory over the Argentina economy minister after campaigning largely on the nation's crippling economy.
Fox's Todd Pyro Milei says he'll base currency on American dollars, ditching the Argentine peso, and says he'll close several government agencies. America's listening to Fox News.
There you go, man. Wasn't that a great report? There you go. There's that Milei story I was telling you about right there. La Libertad. Hey! All right. He'll start basing things off the U.S. dollar. Ah, the left shirks. You can't sound pro-America at all. He'll shut down several government agencies. Let's bring the Malay approach to Washington, D.C. All right. Let's see. A couple other messages on our Montana Talks app here. Tim in Billings just sent this at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. I just heard on the Fox News break that Biden would pardon Hunter and some other turkey today. Oh, wait, my mistake. They said two turkeys. I assumed one of them had to be Hunter. Yeah, they always do the presidential pardon for the turkey every Thanksgiving. So he was thinking one of those turkeys might be Hunter Biden. Tim and Billings, thanks for that message. Kendall and Laurel, this message came in on Friday, and I shared it on, or was it Thursday? Anyway, I shared it on the air last week. It was from Kendall and Laurel. Kendall and Laurel sent us a message. It sickens me to see 400 U.S. businesses at $40,000 plates give the most murderous dictator of the 21st century a standing ovation, overwhelmed as how to defeat this. Kendall and Laurel sent us that message last week, and I remembered that message as I was listening to General Jack Keane, who was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, because General Jack Keane was talking about the visit from Communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping, meeting with Joe Biden, going on the little walk in the park in San Francisco. And he referenced that very same business leader meeting and the standing ovation that was given to Xi Jinping. He mentioned that as well and talked about how that is a propaganda coup for the communists back in China.
I think there should be meetings. We've proven that in the years, 45 years in the Cold War with the Soviet Union. And some of those meetings, particularly between Reagan and Gorbachev, actually led to an improvement in the situation in terms of nuclear treaties. We're very far from something like that here. But nonetheless, I mean, my concern about the meetings, I think, has always been from the outset, is the administration's behavior. They believe by having these kinds of meetings, they think they can change China's behavior. China operates in its own national interest. And the only thing that I've seen it in terms of impacting its behavior is when it's confronted. And I don't believe these meetings are going to serve that kind of interest. China walks away from the meetings. They certainly publicize them as an information tool back home. Certainly that standing ovation that President Xi got, I'm telling you, is going to play over and over and over again. To have American business leaders doing something like that, I think is something outrageous. China is conducting the most comprehensive penetration of American civil society by a cyber espionage campaign in the history of the United States. I read in between the lines, and I think the FBI in China counter it is somewhat overwhelmed. They're not saying that, but I believe that's probably where we truly are.
Wow, did you hear what he just said right there?
Hey, Sean Hannity.
He's life. He's liberty. He is Mark Levin. And you can hear him each weekday afternoon starting at 4 on News Talk 103.3 at AM 970.
is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, General Jack King, retired four-star general, right? Very well respected, been a Fox News contributor for years. The guy's not a bomb thrower. I mean, he'll throw actual bombs downrange if that's what it needs to happen. But, I mean, like, he's not some guy who just says stuff just to get TV attention. Oh, look at me. I want to be on Fox News, so I'm going to make some outlandish remark. That's not who General Jack Keane is. He gives very good insight. And so he was talking about China and communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping coming to San Francisco for the APEC meetings and just the weakness of the Biden administration's approach. And then he was talking about how, you know, these business leaders standing up and applauding Xi Jinping, how, you know, the propagandists back in China are going to be using that to further run over their own people, and how it's a propaganda coup for the communist Chinese. And then he said this. I don't know if this stood out to you, but listen to what he has to say here. I'll explain for a little bit more about what he's mentioning here.
China is conducting the most comprehensive penetration of American civil society by its cyber espionage campaign in the history of the United States. I read in between the lines, and I think the FBI in China counter it is somewhat overwhelmed. They're not saying that, but I believe that's probably where we truly are.
Yeah, there you go. He's talking about the cyber espionage intrusion into America by the communist Chinese. He said, unlike anything we've seen in history, in American history before. And then on top of that, he says he believes that the FBI, he said, counter it is overwhelmed. I'm assuming he's referring to FBI counterintelligence. Which is tasked with finding, you know, which is tasked with monitoring other countries in their efforts to spy on us. He says that he believes that FBI counterintelligence is overwhelmed right now. Well, you know, I mean, keep in mind the FBI's got a lot of resources going in other directions, like spying on President Trump, like targeting peaceful pro-life protesters, like spying on Catholics inside of Catholic churches. So, yeah, counterintelligence branch, it's a little understaffed right now. Yeah, sorry. Other priorities in the current administration, other than protecting Americans, we're targeting Americans and we're interfering in American elections. That's what's happening in the Biden Justice Department right now. Let's see. Another interesting story over the weekend. He was on Sunday Morning Futures. General Keane was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. So was Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, the fellow Iraq War veteran. Tom Cotton, Arkansas Senator, he has been calling for a ban on TikTok now for quite some time. Of course, here in Montana, the Republican supermajority in the legislature and Montana Governor Greg Gianforte already delivered on a TikTok ban, and now a bunch of Chinese front companies and left-wing activists are suing in the federal courts to try to block that TikTok ban. And by the way, I fully expect these liberal federal judges here in Montana to stand up for the communist Chinese and to overturn the ban on TikTok in Montana, because those liberal judges on the federal bench here in Montana, they'll shut down coal miners. They'll shut down, you know, oil and gas operations here in America, but they will not shut down the communist Chinese. Anyway, here's Senator Cotton yesterday.
I've long said that we should ban TikTok, and I think the last few weeks have shown why it's so urgent that we ban it. It's not just that it puts the data, privacy, and security of all Americans at risk, but now it's turned into a propaganda machine for Chinese communists. A good rule of thumb in these situations is that if we wouldn't have let communist Russia do it in the Cold War, we shouldn't let communist China do it now, because you've seen TikTok used to stoke these anti-Semitic pro-Hamas rallies. You even mentioned how TikTok boosted videos saying that Osama bin Laden had a point about attacking America on 9/11. Just imagine what TikTok would do if we ever came to blows with China over Taiwan. So if Congress passes a major aid bill next month for Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan to secure our border, we should also include a flat-out ban on TikTok in America as well.
All right, and then I think Tom Cotton later on in that same interview made the point that, look, Biden already did a partial TikTok ban. He banned TikTok. It was an executive order banning TikTok on government phones, government devices. And yet here is the Biden campaign heading into 2024 is apparently saying that they are going to use TikTok for their campaign. So he made the point that you're going to have these Democrat staffers at the White House carrying two cell phones. They'll have their government phone in one pocket. They'll have their campaign phone in another pocket. Which phone do you think they'll be spending more time on? Yeah, obviously on the campaign phone. But on the government phone, TikTok is banned. On the other phone in their other pocket, they're going to be using TikTok to promote their campaign in 2024. By the way, speaking of 2024 polling, there is a new NBC poll that came out. This is an NBC News poll, which has never showed Donald J. Trump ahead of Joe Biden. But the new NBC poll does show just that, Donald Trump ahead of Joe Biden.
This is the first time in more than a dozen polls conducted by NBC News that Trump has bested Biden in a direct matchup. That extends back to 2019 when Trump was president. 44% of respondents said that they would vote for President Biden if the election were held today, but 46% reported they would vote for the former president. That gap widened when you look at young voters ages 18 to 34. In those responses, the former president held a 4 percentage point advantage, so that's 46 to 42 there. Now, according to Politico, the Biden campaign is facing heat, particularly from donors, over how to handle concerns over the president's age.
All right. And by the way, FoxNews.com has another story about this where the NBC News correspondent is sounding the alarm on these bad poll results for Biden, saying, well, you do not want to be there. So this is the NBC correspondent talking about how bad these numbers are for Joe Biden.
Here it is. Donald Trump, we have at 46%. Biden, 44.
And this is significant because this is the first time in the history of our poll that former President Trump beats President Biden, still within the margin of error, but still significant.
Yeah, in 2019, 2020, when Trump was president, he trailed all of them. This year, he's trailed all of them in our poll. First time in more than a dozen polls, we've seen a result like this. Some of the other ingredients that go into that, Biden has long had an advantage over Trump on likability. Look, at the start of this year, 39% said they had a positive view of Biden, barely 30 of Trump. We've seen consistently a gap like this. Now, the gap is gone. 36 positive on both, and actually Biden 1 point more negative than Trump. That's been a significant advantage for Biden. Our poll says that advantage, at least for now, may be gone.
All right, there you go. That was, I think it was Kornacki. Yeah, Steve Kornacki, NBC correspondent. Joe Concha, he's now a writer for The Messenger. He was on Fox and Friends First earlier this morning pointing out how the Democrats have no backup plan to Joe Biden.
This is a different version of the same story we've been seeing over and over the last few weeks. Obviously, anytime you invoke the phrase bedwetting, get some eyeballs. Your take.
Indeed. It's almost impossible to see how Joe Biden can win in 2024 at this point if he is the Democratic nominee, Todd. He's lost major support from black voters, Latino voters, female voters, independent voters, young voters. And on the last front, CNN even shows Donald Trump leading Joe Biden among voters under 35. And if presidential elections come down to turning out the base and winning independent voters, the kind of voters I just listed, Biden loses, and he loses badly, regardless of who the Republican nominee is, which will most likely be Donald Trump. The problem is we have no idea who could replace Joe Biden if he actually agreed to step aside, which he probably won't. Gavin Newsom is at his lowest approval as California governor. Michelle Obama seems happy just winning Emmy Awards as a producer for Netflix. Kamala Harris has gone from being plan B to plan Z. So that's great if you don't want Joe Biden to run, because he probably will not win. But there is no backup at this point, like a Tommy DeVito who can jump in and win.
Who's that? Oh, yeah. All right. Backup. That must have been a football reference there. All right. I haven't been watching much NFL, or the only college football is Cat Grizz. I just don't watch that much TV. Hey, they were talking about backups, having backups. Let me tell you, that's what Farm 406 will deliver for you. If you're somebody who's, you know, trying to weigh, do I fill up my car with gas so I can go pick up my prescriptions from the pharmacy, or do I save that gas money so that I can pay for my prescriptions? Well, what if you could save money on your prescriptions and save gas money. Well, I'll tell you what, you can do both. Get a hold of our friends at Farm 406. Ask them about their Cost Plus program. It's a way you can get your prescriptions at cost for the entire year. Save a lot of money. And hey, if you want to save gas money too, if you live in the Billings area, they will drive your prescriptions to you. Or, hey, they'll just send them to you in the mail. And when your prescriptions show up in the mail, they're already organized not only by day, but by time of day. You'll have this whole sheet. It'll say Monday morning's meds. It'll say Monday afternoon meds. And you just pop the pills out of the little tab, and you've got what you need, so you don't have to shuffle the pill bottles, juggle the pill bottles all around. Anyway, check them out, farm406.com. Or if you're in the Billings area, just drop by 38th and Grand on the West End.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I have a simple question on this. This is not a complicated issue. What part of the First Amendment does this judge not understand? This is not a difficult case to handle here. And by the way, where we're at it, we now learn that, in fact, there's not going to be any charges at all against Joe Biden as it relates to the document scandal. Now, remember, they found documents from the days he was in the U.S. Senate at the University of Delaware. They found top secret classified material in his own garage next to his precious Corvette. They found it at the UPenn Biden Center. They found it at Joe Biden's beach home. They never raided any of these locations. But if you don't think we have a dual justice system or a double standard, this is exactly what I've been saying we have happening.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
All right, Black Friday savings start right now at Blinds.com with up to 50% off everything. That includes big door busters. Blinds.com has everything you will need to upgrade your entire home. Plus, with professional design consultants, installation services, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, Blinds.com makes it easy. Shop now, Blinds.com, their Black Friday sale, and save up to 50% off everything and big door busters. That's up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ashley Banfield and Chris Cuomo on America's fastest growing cable news network, News Nation.
The viewer seems to have been lost in the shuffle of cable news lately. They don't want a team sport. They want the full picture.
The appetite is greater than it has ever been for perspective, for understanding, and for information that they can not just trust, but use.
See why more people are turning to News Nation, news for all America. To find News Nation on your screen, go to joinnn.com.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I figure I should whip out the American Patriots Almanac here. A little This Day in History stuff. Why am I doing This Day in History stuff? Oh, yeah, it's November 20th. All right. Well, because apparently today is Joe Biden's birthday. 81 candles. That's a lot of candles on one cake there. The country's oldest president turns 81 today. This is from Fox News Radio. Biden was born in 1942, the same year the film Casablanca premiered and Hitler ruled Germany. Some younger voters are feeling the disconnect. According to a Fox News poll, Biden's disapproval is at an all-time high among voters under 45. 18% of voters who disapprove of Biden cite his age and mental state. The White House is keeping the birthday festivities low-key with more focus on the annual White House turkey pardon. According to Politico, Biden fundraisers and donors do not think that the campaign is addressing the age question correctly, reporting, quote, literally everyone is talking about it, even amongst donors. But the response is always, what are you going to do? If Biden wins re-election, he will be 82 at his second inauguration and 86 when he leaves the White House. The Wall Street Journal editorial board writes, quote, running for re-election in his condition is an act of profound selfishness. Perhaps some good news, though. Biden advisors doubt that Senator Joe Manchin will run in 2024 as a third-party candidate, according to NBC. But former Obama advisor David Axelrod still thinks that Biden's odds in 2024 are a 50-50 shot. No better than that. Maybe a little worse. That's the write-up there from Fox News Radio. But, yeah, today, think about that. Think about the symbolism there. When Joe Biden is 81 years old today, when he was born in 1942, same year the film Casablanca premiered, Hitler ruled Germany. Think about that. When Joe Biden was born, Hitler ruled Germany. And look at now that Joe Biden is president, and we have seen the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust in just that one lifespan. We use the phrase never forget, but how many forget? How many forget? What else happened on this day in history? Let's see. 1789, New Jersey became the first state to ratify the Bill of Rights. 1943, one of the bloodiest battles in Marine Corps history begins on Tarawa in the Pacific. The U.S. prevails, but at a cost of approximately 1,000 dead. 1,000 dead just from one battle alone. Let's see, 1620, Peregrine White, the first child born of English parents in New England, is born aboard the Mayflower off of Cape Cod. Let's see, 1953, flying a Douglas skyrocket at Edwards Air Force Base, California, Scott Crossfield becomes the first pilot to break Mach 2 in 1953. All right, let's see. Oh, they got a cool little write-up here about the various mottos and watchwords of the U.S. military as well here. So that's pretty cool. Have to go back and read that one another one of these days here. Let's see. What else did I want to share with you here? Former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy was asked about this comment by Texas Congressman and Freedom Caucus member Chip Roy. Listen to what Chip Roy had to say on the floor of the House last week.
One thing. I want my Republican colleagues to give me one thing, one, that I can go campaign on and say we did. One. Anybody sitting in the complex, if you want to come down to the floor and come explain to me one material, meaningful, significant thing the Republican majority has done besides, well, I guess it's not as bad as the Democrats.
All right, that was Freedom Caucus member Chip Roy on the floor of the House last week. Maria Bartiromo, one other clip I wanted to share with you here, but we ran out of time this hour. She asked former Speaker Kevin McCarthy for his reaction to that. What would you say House Republicans have accomplished since taking over the House a year ago? I'll play the answer next.